Good morning. It's September the 21st. Our New Testament reading today is Luke 13 and 14. I'm going to read to you two sections from Brother Melva Purkis, A Life of Jesus. This particular chapter in Brother Purkis' book is headed, Except Ye Repent. I read. During Christ's ministry in Perea, a number of Jews described to him an incident which had occurred in Jerusalem when Pilate had sent his soldiery amongst the temple worshippers and mingled their blood with the sacrifices. Such tragedies were not uncommon in those turbulent days, testifying alike to the fanatical patriotism of the Galileans and the stern character of the Roman rule. But it is obvious from the answer which Jesus gave these men that their problem was merely a philosophical one. They were concerned, as the disciples had been in the case of the blind beggar, with the relationship between their sufferings and their sinfulness. These men, they had argued, must have been guilty of some heinous sin, that God should bring so terrible a judgment upon them that, in the very act of worship, their blood should be required. Jesus, however, emphatically denied their cruel insinuations. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He turned their attention from the tragic scene to themselves. Death will come to all. The means by which it comes is relatively unimportant. What is important is to recognize the evil of human nature and turn to God in repentance. He reminded them of another tragedy. 18 men had been killed when the Tower of Siloam fell. Once more, he emphasized the lesson. Unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We should probably have taken this warning only in a personal sense, had it not been for the parable of the barren fig tree, by which Jesus related his warnings to the nation of Israel. In view of that parable, the words likewise perish assume a sombre aspect. Israel did not repent, and the day came when, with the Romans at their gates, strife broke out amongst themselves in that very temple. Once more human blood flowed with the blood of the sacrifices. Whilst facing the relentless enemy onslaught, thousands of Jews perished under the falling masonry of their city. With prophetic insight, Jesus spoke of those days. He told them of one who planted a fig tree in his vineyard. Because it bore no fruit after 3 years of careful tending, he determined to cut it down. But his hand was stayed for the moment by the intercession of the dresser of the vineyard, who promised to dig about the tree and dung it for another year in a final effort to save it. If his work on it failed, it should be cut down. Israel was unique among the nations of the world. It had unparalleled opportunities for bearing fruit and giving glory to God. In his wisdom and love, Jesus forbore to relate the sequel he saw so closely. He did nothing to encourage a fatalistic acceptance of doom. While the fig tree would undoubtedly fall under the axe of divine judgment, the personal aspect remained, and the Lord was waiting to receive those who obeyed his word. So it is today. The judgments of God will be executed in the earth before his glory is finally revealed. That is a call to acknowledge the righteousness and justice of God, and an incentive to recognize the evil of our nature and turn to him with penitent hearts. Thank you for listening.